This is Bad Movies We Love, part of the Scheiss Podcast Network.
If you're listening to this, you are the resistance.
Hello, bad movie lovers. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Nick Scheist.
The master of this stupid stuff!
Whether you are a first-time or a long-time listener, I want to thank you for being here for this best of 2025 edition of the show. Yes, I know it's long overdue at this point, but let's not get bogged down in the details. If you haven't been here for one of these in the past, fear not, I've got you covered. As always with this show, we do things a little differently around here. This is not your typical year-end best of list. I realize you can't see the air quotes, but trust me, they are there. Here, we take a look at the best bad movies of the year. There's those air quotes again. Trust me. Only the movies I saw last year that meet the scoring criteria are eligible, so that means the movies need to hold an aggregate score of 60 out of 100 or below in order to qualify. Occasionally on the show, I put my finger on the scale. I bend the rules a little to allow some movies in the 60 to 65 range into the discussions because I can. So I will reserve some honorable mentions for those movies in the bubble territory. I'm also adding a new wrinkle to the fold this year. Throughout the show's history, I've handled Hall of Fame inductions on the fly. My guests in those episodes didn't even know that I had prepared a big speech and the whole hullabaloo. But as the show grew and evolved, and I got busier doing the planning and all of the other things for the show and for the network that aren't the sitting behind the microphone part, I dropped the ball on keying into those Hall of Fame bad movies we love. So after we look at the 2025 cinematic year, we're going to take a look back at the 2025 show year and hang some movie posters in the rafters for the iconic bad movies we covered on the show last season. Then as we move into the future, I'd like to open up the Hall of Fame vote to the public. That's right, you are going to have a say in which movies make the Bad Movies We Love Hall of Fame, assuming I plan accordingly and there is enough interest and participation. So, without further ado, let's get to the lineup. I'm going to start with the trio of movies that are in the bubble with a score between 60 and 65. Those movies are Megan 2.0, Bone Lake, and Tron: Ares. So for what it's worth, I liked all of those movies, and maybe that's because they're in the 60 to 65 bubble range. I included them all on the initial list because there was a chance that their aggregate scores would fall low enough to where they would officially be considered bad movies. But for the purposes of bad movie futures, what we do there is speculate on whether or not a movie score is going to go up or go down. So realistically, anything in the bubble range and below is fair game. I did end up rewatching all three of those movies in preparation for this and in preparation for individual episodes of Bad Movie Futures. So if you're interested in hearing more detailed conversations on Megan 2.0, Bone Lake, and Tron: Ares, make sure to keep an eye out for those episodes. Now, here are all the movies I saw in 2025 that made the grade for the best bad movies of 2025 with updated aggregate scores as of today. We are looking at Anaconda with a score of 54.83, Death of a Unicorn with the 58.17, Jimmy and Stigs with a 59.4, Jurassic World Rebirth with a 57.17, Tornado with a 56, Anemone also with the 56, The Parenting clocking in with a 54.67, Wolfman with a 53.33, Shelby Oaks with a 52.5, Havoc with a 52.17, Dream Eater with a 53.4, Afterburn with a 47.75, Him with a 46.67, You're Cordially Invited with a 46.83, Flight Risk with a 45.5, Honey Don't with a 46.67, Love Hurts with a 41.83, and In the Lost Lands bringing up the rear with a 41.17. So of those 18 movies, half made the cut for what I would consider the best of the worst. So we'll go through those one by one, and at the end, we will crown the best bad movie we love of 2025. We are starting things off with The Parenting. A couple rents a countryside house for a weekend with their parents and then discover it's inhabited by a 400-year-old poltergeist. This is a supernatural horror comedy that was released straight to HBO Max, directed by Craig Johnson and written by Kent Sublett, but it also has a remarkable cast starring Edie Falco, Dean Norris, Parker Posey, Lisa Kudrow, and Brian Cox, also with Nick Dadani and Brandon Flynn in lead roles and Vivian Bang. I personally like to see rated R comedies making a comeback, and this one was funny, and the bonus of having it be a couch watch goes a long way. I'll be recording a Bad Movie Futures episode on this film with my wife, Kristen, and that should be due out sometime in the not-too-distant future. Next up, we've got Shelby Oaks, directed by Chris Stuckman, written by Sam Liz and Chris Stuckman. A woman's obsessive search for her missing sister leads her into a terrifying mystery at the hands of an unknown evil. This is a movie that had a lot of hype coming into it, I think mainly because Stuckman was a famous YouTube personality, and the opportunity to make this film with his audience already in mind was sort of a one-off, but is becoming a little bit more popular right now. Word of mouth says that it's too derivative of other horror films, and a lot of this even comes from people who are fans of Stuckman's YouTube account already, where he does film reviews. And I think, in fairness, it does not quite homage, but certainly alludes to a lot of other horror films that already exist. That said, I feel like the visual atmosphere and tension is solid. We have a very good lead performance from Camille Sullivan, and for my money, I thought it was solid enough. There are some things that I wanted more of, and if you want to hear more in detail about what that is, you can check out the Bad Movie Futures episode on Shelby Oaks that I recorded with Darren Crooks, and that will be coming shortly as well. Next on the list, we've got the Paul Rudd and Jack Black-led reboot, remake, requel of Anaconda, directed by Tom Gormican, written by Tom Gormican and Kevin Etten, the minds behind The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which I really liked, and that humor is still very much present in this film. However, in a film that is sort of shamelessly a cash grab remake of the original Anaconda, it doesn't lean into the strengths and the style and the core of the original film in the way that The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent leans into the Nicolas Cage of it all. I feel like overall it was still a good time. The friends dynamic is pretty strong between all of them. You get what you pay for in Paul Rudd and Jack Black as the faces of this, but honestly, I would say that Steve Zahn and Selton Mello are the two characters that really make the humor in the movie work in the ways that it does. And I was joined by Rod Peters from the We Watched a Porno podcast to talk about Anaconda on an episode of Bad Movie Futures. That'll be out soon, too. Next up on the docket, we've got Lee Whannell's Wolfman remake, kind of. It's really more of a reimagining, and that's completely fine. The movie incorporates a lot of very interesting sound and visual elements, and the focus of the film really is to try to scare you and make you feel unsettled. A lot of the gore elements work really well in that department, and I've never met a Christopher Abbott movie that I didn't enjoy. I know a lot of folks had an issue with the monster design, which I myself share that opinion, but I am happy that Lee Whannell decided to go with a practical effects werewolf, or Wolfman in this case, rather than relying on CGI, because that at least gives it a tether to the original Universal Pictures Wolfman and makes it feel lived in a way that a lot of CGI stuff just doesn't these days. My buddy Donnie from originally the You, Me, and a Movie podcast and now the Film Wars podcast joined me for this discussion on Wolfman, which we had pinned for a long time and finally recorded, so there will be a Bad Movie Futures episode out on that soon as well. Moving right along, we end up at Anemone, the return of Daniel Day-Lewis being directed by his son Ronan Day-Lewis, a film that they actually wrote together, also starring Sean Bean and Samantha Morton. People seem to have a big problem with this one, but for my money, it was always mostly a vehicle for Daniel Day-Lewis's return, and he does not disappoint, nor do Sean Bean and Samantha Morton. So from an acting perspective, I got my money's worth. Beyond that, from the perspective of visual storytelling, there's some really interesting stuff that goes on in this film as well. There's a certain ghost story element to it all, and I might have actually enjoyed it a little bit more had they leaned into that nature of the shot making. But that being said, there is still one amazing shot in the film, and I won't spoil it for you because I think it's worth watching on your own, but I was joined by Cam Sully from the Jacked Up Review Show podcast to talk about this film on an episode of Bad Movie Futures that is currently out for subscribing members of this show, and the preview is available everywhere you get podcasts. We are hitting the home stretch now as we arrive at Honey Don't, Ethan Coen's follow-up to Driveaway Dolls that he wrote, once again, with his wife, Trisha Cook. This film was received even more poorly than Driveaway Dolls, which has already been featured on a past episode of Bad Movie Futures here on the show, but for what it's worth, I actually liked this movie better than Driveaway Dolls. Not by a huge margin, but by enough where it felt maybe more tangible to a broader audience, but maybe that audience had already been turned off by Driveaway Dolls for some reason. But I think structurally, this movie is in the hands of its biggest stars more often than is the case with Driveaway Dolls, and that works for me because I like Chris Evans, I like Aubrey Plaza, I like Margaret Qualley, and I like the inclusion of Charlie Day here. If you didn't like Driveaway Dolls, you're probably not going to like this one, to be honest. And while I haven't recorded the episode yet, I do have an upcoming episode that I'm working on scheduling right now so that I can talk about Honey Don't in greater detail. We have arrived at the top three, and taking third overall is Tornado. A Japanese puppeteer's daughter gets caught up with criminals when their show crosses paths with a crime gang led by Sugarman and his son Little Sugar. Part Western, part samurai film, part period drama about a particular set of family struggles in a world with traveling minstrels. Directed by John McClane, written by John McClane and Kate Lees. Starring Koki as Tornado, Rory McCann as Kitten, Tim Roth as Sugarman, and Jack Lowden as Little Sugar. I didn't know anything about this movie, but I saw the poster, I saw the samurai sword, I saw Tim Roth, and I said, I'm in. And honestly, probably one of the more rewarding films that I saw in 2025. One of the sleepers that even had it scored too high to qualify for this show, I would have found a way to talk about because I really enjoyed it. I think more people should see it. It's currently on Hulu if you're interested. And I am working on scheduling an episode about this movie for the future. It's not quite settled yet when that's going to be, but it is in the cards. Coming in at number two is Jimmy and Stiggs, written and directed by Joe Bagos. A perfect storm of lousy news sees out-of-work filmmaker Jimmy Lang spiral into a bender, during which he claims to have been abducted by aliens, and fearing their return, he contacts his old friend Stiggs to help him gear up for war. This is primarily a one-location film taking place entirely inside the apartment of this filmmaker, Jimmy Lang, and it is absolutely B-movie territory, but it does so in a way that, for some reason, just really worked for me. if I showed you the design of the aliens, you would probably point to the fact that it's so incredibly low budget, it's not even remotely believable. And that is true. But both Joe Bagos and Matt Mercer, who are the primary actors in the film, play it so straight and so seriously that it doesn't even matter that the aliens look cheap. You start to not even think about it anymore because the investment in the rest of the movie still matters, and the aliens are just a very small part of that. It's a neon-drenched, drug-fueled splatterfest, and it's a lot of fun. My goal, actually, is to get Joe Bagos on this show so that he can talk to me about this film, but he did not respond to my request. That's fair enough. It probably went to spam like so many direct messages do, but I am going to keep trying. And then there was one. I would like to say it was the most divisive film of 2025, but I would be propping it up a little bit too much if that were the case, because by all accounts, this movie was mostly hated. In fact, I only personally maybe talked to two people that actually liked this movie. However, their loss is my gain, and we are talking about Him. Directed by Justin Tipping, written by Skip Bronchi, Zach Akers, and Justin Tipping, a young athlete descends into a world of terror when he's invited to train with a legendary champion whose charisma curdles into something darker. This one stars Marlon Wayans and Tyreek Withers and Julia Fox in a supporting role. Even though I discussed this movie on an episode of Bad Movie Futures with my buddy Keon, I still can't quite wrap my head around the thing that people didn't like, what the thing was that didn't work for them. As a huge football fan myself, I feel like the movie is very dialed in to its critique of football and football culture, specifically probably the NFL, but also the trickle-down of that into college and high school athletics. I think the heavily stylized visual approach really worked well for the trailers in crafting this air of mystique and creepiness, and honestly, I think it works for the film pretty darn well. However, some of the religious and cult and maybe even demonic religious iconography that makes its way into the film may seem out of place. But for me, I feel like the movie was spot on in its critique and what it wanted to say. It had something to say about the pursuit of greatness in this industry, and it did so with a fantastic soundtrack and a lot of blood splatter as well. I'm not sure if it was the first Bad Movie Futures I did in 2025, but at the end of the day, it is the most important because here we are looking back at the 2025 cinematic year, and Him is still number one. If one of the movies from this list that you like didn't make my final cut, that's okay. I'll be releasing episodes of Bad Movie Futures on Death of a Unicorn, Jurassic World Rebirth, Flight Risk, Havoc, and Love Hurts in the coming days and weeks. Plus, if you're looking for more in-depth conversations on the actual best of list, I've already released a couple of those Bad Movie Futures episodes, as I've mentioned, and a bunch more will be trickling out shortly. Now, let's move on to the 2025 show year. So overall, we had 62 episodes in 2025. That means there were 62 different films that we covered here on the show. And while it was tough, I narrowed it down to these eight based on a number of variables. We start with Buckaroo Banzai, a movie that is so insane that there was no way I could keep it off of this list. Its unbridled joy and passion and exuberant fun just cannot be contained. And I was joined by Vanya and filmmaker Evan Reese for that episode, and getting to sit down with the filmmaker and talk about the ins and outs of the movie and how that style inspired his filmmaking journey really lent a lot to the discussion, and the movie's just awesome, so check it out. The next Hall of Fame honoree is Spawn. Yes, that Spawn. Todd McFarlane's Spawn. Mark A.Z. Deepe's Spawn. Starring Michael J. White, John Leguizamo, and Martin Sheen. This one is going into the Hall of Fame because A, John Leguizamo is incredible in this movie. Beyond just comic book good, it's probably one of the best performances of 1997. And Michael J. White should have been a much bigger star than he ended up being. Yes, some of the visual effects are incredibly dated, but the practical work and the suit design and the makeup effects and everything that happens that is tactile in the actual production design is exceptional. While we continually get remakes of movies that A, either don't need them or don't deserve them, Spawn is the type of movie where a bigger budget and revisiting this property with modern VFX to complement the amazing practical effects could go a long way. We could have an incredible Spawn movie. So for that reason, and some of its general fun and era-specific tone, Spawn is in the Hall of Fame now. Moving right along, we arrive at Demon Knight. That's right, the Tales from the Crypt movie directed by Ernest Dickerson. This was a movie that was featured during Billy Zane month, You're So Zane, and it's maybe his best performance. It's certainly up there, and he looks back on it as one of his most fun performances. Also starring William Sadler, Jada Pinkett Smith, CCH Pounder, Dick Miller, and Thomas Hayden Church. A really amazing cast for this movie at the time, and obviously a lot of stars were, well, I don't want to say sharpened because you don't sharpen a star, but maybe it's a ninja star. But you know what I mean. Iron sharpens iron. And this was a case of a lot of good actors getting together on what was basically a throwaway B-movie project and really bringing their A-games to this. It's the perfect blend of tones in its horror elements. It understands the assignment when it comes to how to utilize its humor. And again, practical effects go a long way with me, and the practical effects in this are amazing. If you've never seen Demon Knight, check it out and then listen to my episode with Newman from Movies for Days. The next poster going into the rafters is that of Mars Attacks from 1996. This is directed by Tim Burton. Considered by many to be one of Burton's lesser films, I would insist in the opposite direction. The cast is amazing, with Jack Nicholson, Pierce Brosnan, Sarah Jessica Parker, Glenn Close, Danny DeVito, Annette Bening, Martin Short, Michael J. Fox, Tom Jones, Rod Steiger, Lucas Haas, Natalie Portman, Lisa Marie, Jim Brown, Sylvia Sidney, Paul Winfield, Pam Grier, and a very young Jack Black. Beyond the A-list talent that just came to play in this sandbox, I think the movie is a wonderfully satirical look at a situation like this. It's a throwback to sci-fi era films of the 50s while still embracing Burton's stylistic preferences. Yes, the movie hit a lot of hurdles, and if you want to hear me talk about this movie in much greater detail, you can check out the episode on Mars Attacks with my friend Sean. He's a contributor here at the show. He's been on a few times. He was even here for another Hall of Fame induction episode when we covered Maximum Overdrive. So if you like zany, colorful satire, Mars Attacks is a movie for you. Next up is one that kind of surprised me, but also kind of not so much. We're talking Kung Pao, Enter the Fist. When I saw this movie in theaters, I laughed so hard, so uncontrollably, and so stupidly, I knew that one day, 20 years in the future, I would be talking about it on a podcast dedicated to bad movies. This was during our Kung Foolery month here on the show, and I was joined by Marcus, who's joined me a couple of times on the show. And while the movie is silly and stupid and pulls footage from an existing movie and makes a brand new movie out of it, I can't help but appreciate the effort. I would say tonally, the movie is right at home with the spirit of this show's title, Bad Movies We Love. It's a movie that knows it's bad, but has fun doing all the stupid shit that it does in it. I didn't know if the episode was going to be popular, but it ended up being the second most downloaded episode of last year. From there, we go to the most downloaded episode of last year, and that's Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. This was the first time I worked with Raph from the Canon podcast, and we got along swimmingly. Tokyo Drift may seem like the bastard stepchild of the Fast and the Furious universe. However, it's been more well-received lately as potentially the last one in the franchise to actually focus on racing. And while we didn't set out to make a point of it, we did end up talking quite a bit about the geopolitics of this film in the post-9/11 era. I think we even surprised ourselves with that one, but it's another good example of why this episode was so popular and why we're hanging this poster in the rafters here at Bad Movies We Love. Looking back at our Junifer Lopez celebration during the summer of 2025, we're talking about Tarsem Singh's The Cell. I was tempted to go with Anaconda here in this spot because I do love that movie quite a bit. However, when it comes to just the quality of the film itself and the questions that it raises, I feel like The Cell is much more fertile ground. Movie Miss from the Let's Talk Turkeys podcast joined me to dive into the psychological aspects of this film and the incredible set and costume design that helped this movie stand out visually. Vincent D'Onofrio is amazing in this movie, and Jennifer Lopez shows that she does have some serious acting chops when she's given a role that suits her talents. If you've never seen it, I would say it's kind of like Silence of the Lambs on mushrooms. So if that sounds appealing to you, then definitely check it out. And last but not least, the final film being inducted into the 2025 Bad Movies We Love Hall of Fame is Judge Dredd. Yes, not Dredd, Judge Dredd, the Sylvester Stallone Rob Schneider movie. This one is on here for mostly the wrong reasons. Sylvester Stallone and Armand Desante play clones. Yes, you heard that correctly. Not brothers. Not fraternal twins. Clones. Rob Schneider is shoehorned in there for comic relief in a movie that doesn't really need it, but he was popular at the time, and I guess that was the decision that was made. The movie itself also completely misunderstands the purpose of the Judge Dredd comic and falls flat on its face when trying to grapple with the anti-authoritarian satire in the pages. My guest for that episode, Dara McGrath, was a lifelong fan of the comic books and an ardent reader, so trust me when I say they got almost everything wrong. That being said, the practical effects are still really good, the score is awesome, a bunch of shit still blows up, and Diane Lane is still a great Judge Hershey. That is it for the Hall of Fame class of 2025. If you think I missed something and you want to let me know, or you think my list sucks, or maybe you like the list, you can email me at badmoviesbelove@thescheist.com, and I will read those emails, I promise. I might even look into doing some kind of second ballot option for the Hall of Fame for all of the season 4 movies that didn't make the cut this time. If you made it this far, I want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode and to listen to any episode ever, honestly. There's a lot of choices out there, so the fact that you allowed me into your home or into your car or into your safe space in any way and trusted me with entertaining you for, in this case, half an hour, in many cases, 2 hours plus. Just know that I appreciate it. If you like hanging out and you are interested in doing more of that, please consider becoming a subscribing member to the Resistance Frontlines, where for $5 a month you get access to all of our exclusive bonus episodes like Rom-Comathon, the aforementioned Bad Movie Futures, Baimon Sci-Fi Con. You'll also get an invite to our Discord server where you can chat with me, where you can pitch ideas if you want, maybe volunteer to come on as a guest. You also get automatically entered into all of our giveaways, and there is a new giveaway coming up soon, so that's a nice perk. And you'll get shouted out on the show. Plus, new members get a free welcome gift, so you get a lot for your $5. And if you're not in a position to become a contributing member, I get it. The economy stinks right now. But if you could do me a solid and share your favorite episode of the show with a friend, leave a review on your podcast platform of choice, those kind of things really help the show grow. So until next time, stay safe, be well, do good, and watch movies.